We're still studying Isaiah, I mean, First Thessalonians, I can't even talk. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7. And we're studying what it means when they use the word drunkenness. And yesterday we read the explanation of it from Isaiah 28, that it's the wine of Ephraim, which is the wine of self-seeking. So all the prophets and all the seers and all the teachers are putting forth garbage in the name of God because their eyes are closed. Now, Isaiah 29 further amplifies this. So, Isaiah 29. I almost turned right to it. So we've just gone through this thing about bread corn is bruised and cumin. So the idea that different people are treated differently. And then verse 29, this also cometh from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Now,
verse 29?
Yeah, of Isaiah 28. So now we move right in to an expansion of what Isaiah 28 is about. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year, and let them kill the sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee. And thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground. And thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground. And thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Now, this is 730 years before Christ. So it's 800 years before the thing happened when all this came to pass. Now, what does it mean to speak out of the dust? Thou shalt be brought down, and they shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust. And thy voice shall be as one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. The word dust is Adama. And so all you can do and all they're doing in the process of the speech shall be as its origin from the ground instead of from. In other words, the speech shall be from man's sensory perception. And they shall put God's name on it. And it shall get more and more. That's why it says out of the ground and out of the dust and out of the ground and out of the dust. And so everything will be about what you can do to benefit mankind. So remember, Satan's trick is always to change your point of view to be towards man instead of towards God. Now, why is all this happening? Because they have been drunken on the wine of Ephraim, the wine of self-seeking. Everybody understand that? What? Moreover, verse 5, moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away. Now, terrible means, doesn't mean terrible like we think of terrible. It means the important ones, the big daddies. And who are the strangers are the mixed multitude that always accompanies Israel, right? And thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, and with earthquake, and with great noise, and with storm, and tempest, and the flame of a devouring fire. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition, and that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. I feel like I'm in a dream of a night vision right now. I'm so dizzy. What it's saying here is that all of these nations that encamped against Jerusalem, Ariel is Jerusalem, it's another word. But all of the nations that encamped against her, which included Babylon and Rome and Persia, shall be as a dream. And you have to go back in history to find them. You understand that? They were used of God to punish Israel, but in that it's like they shouldn't have done it, because they just become as nothing. Okay? Now the same is true for anybody that comes against, you got to see, this was the type that has to be now fulfilled in the body, in us. All right? Everybody understand that? And the multitude, in verse 7, and the multitude of the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition, and that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. And it shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations or all the people be that fight against Mount Zion. Now, this phenomenon of an occasion happening, but in your reality, it's just like a dream where you had a fabulous meal, but you woke up and you're hungry, or you're drinking the best of wines and you wake up and you're thirsty. This is the whole idea of where I surmised, and really from my own experience, that when we are taken into the bosom of Abraham or into the mystery of the promise, and even if we just go there and visit it for a while, what happens is, it's as though everything that has happened in your life, in my life, and in history of the world, it was as it never happened. I don't know how to explain that any better. It took me a long time after I came back, if you will, from that conversion experience, to be able to really to do anything. The only thing I knew that I had to do was walk away from everything that I had been doing. And I could never again do anything to help myself. But that experience of this, drawn in, for a brief minute, drawn into this mystery, is more real to me than anything in the universe. It's more real to me than my own flesh. It's more real to me than, anything. And that's what the promise that is set before us. If you can truly abandon yourself, if you can empty that vessel so that there is, from your perspective of the senses, nothingness, then the promise of God is that's where you will be. He will bring you into that point of it's really into the heart of Christ. And your identity will be for a minute confused. It's like, what's going on here? But you can never be the same after it. Anyway.
What you're talking about, it makes me think of temporal, eternal. Temporal things have no substance. They come, they go, they're
right.
Like the dream.
Right.
But the eternal things never go away. It's eternal.
Amen. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry you out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Now, remember, we've talked forever about natural man. And it's nothing he can do anything about it, but every aspect of life, whether you hear the news, whether you read a book, whether you learn something, your whole being is encompassed towards how can I use this? And the minute that happens in you, then the veil comes down. And nothing in this Bible. You then start reading half scriptures, and finding something that'll keep you alive, something that'll keep you and give you riches or health, or what?
Well, that's Adamic. That's what Adam has to do to survive.
Right, but that is you're drunken, but not with wine. You stagger, but not from strong drink. Your prophets and your rulers and your seers are idiots.
Because they're doing the same thing.
They're doing the same thing.
And you're in agreement with them because you're doing the same thing.
That's right. So that's why this happened to Jerusalem and to Ariel here, so that you can see the danger of even giving one small half breath to your welfare, to you or yours, to the slightest way to seek to save your life. And that's the fear of God. And that is then the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of Christ is made unto us wisdom and sanctification. He's made unto us truth and life and peace and everything else. But we have to have words to describe aspects of this. And the only way I can see to describe it is it's everything in your life is an Adamic creature. And as your mind, it's if you're looking in a mirror. And whatever you see, you take it to you. That's the nature. That's the beast. You're hardwired to do that. But you're also given the opportunity, vis-a-vis repentance, to be able to see through that mirror. And in every place you look, you see Christ as all and in all. You see the New Jerusalem as your only reality. But it's all dependent on repentance. It's all dependent on not rebuilding that which you've destroyed. Okay. Anybody have any response to any of this, Ms. Josanna? All right.
I had wondered a moment ago about when you talked about the armies coming against Ariel. Who were those armies and what was their motive? What were they up to? I think as we talk, it was like these ones, those Adamic ones, in agreement with each other, are coming against Israel.
Right. And still.
And they are. It's not.
That's why we, it's, you know, I got an email about how that we are idiots because we study the feast or we try to celebrate the feast.
Wow.
And I don't know if I've ever really talked about this, but we celebrate Hanukkah so we can begin to understand the first glimmer of what God did in overshadowing Mary so that there was the birth of. We celebrate Rosh Hashanah so that we can understand and see Him at His birth. We celebrate Yom Kippur so that we can see and understand and what it meant for Him to be baptized. We go through the feasts, the fasts, Vav and Tammuz, so we can see that He already had destroyed all of the idolatry that those feasts are. You know, in each of the feasts, we see an aspect of Christ. And as we see that, then we can let go of any concerns we had in that arena because it's all His business. So to me, the feasts and the way we celebrate them, it's to me, from my perspective, it's my legacy to whoever, because it's so incredibly important to see the feast from God's standpoint and the fasts, the appointed times. And just, we just see more and more of Him. Amen? What?
Well, I mean, that's so simple. There's nothing complicated about that concept. I don't see how anybody could not see it.
Do you remember when I first wanted us to celebrate some of these things?
I don't remember being against that.
Well, there was a lot of againstness. I don't remember if it was you or not, but it was againstness for me.
Might have been againstness for you, but the feast.
What?
It might have been againstness from you, maybe sometimes, but the feast itself. I mean, within our group, was there resistance in the group?
Oh, yeah. What is all this trouble you're putting us? Remember?
There might have been some of that.
I just remember everything, all of a sudden, everything made sense about the feast and the Bible and why.
Yeah, it did.
Why we didn't miss. I remember, you know, really against us too, but I remember just how it was like we discovered a buried treasure.
Yeah.
It's like we had one of those little dealies that.
One of the various mines.
Yes.
Metal detectors.
Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudence shall be hid. And woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, He hath no understanding? It is not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed. And all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. And they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. So that's the fruit of self-realization and the hope. Now, it's always a blessing to me when it talks about the God of Jacob, because Jacob screwed up every way possible. Wouldn't even say what his name was. But God was with him all the way to the point until he renamed him Israel. So, you know, he's with us in our screw-ups. But the fear of God is what keeps, it makes repentance the way of life instead of a thing you do. Amen? So the next, we're not going to read it, but the next, then it is now going from that, and now the next then is, woe unto those that go back down to Egypt to rely on the whole thing. But we're not going to stay that. We're going back to Thessalonians. So everybody understand Isaiah 28 and 29 in relationship to being drunk in the scriptures. Amen?
A little bit.
All right, that's enough. Take it, big guy.